53 Colorado Springs, 54 was with Memphis in the Southern League.
Memphis, Southern League. Mm-hmm. I told Frank Lane, who was then the manager, the general manager of White Sox, and he won. And I said, no, I want to get a job as a coach in the major leagues. That was my ambition. He said, I'll tell you what. He said, I can't help you now, but if you go down to Memphis for me, I'll do what I can in next year. And I said, okay. And the next year, he did. He called me up to be coaching with the White Sox in 54. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you coached, all the way through about 66 with the White Sox?
66. Yeah, 66 with Al Lopez. Well, first it was Marty Marion, mm-hmm. and then Al Lopez. And then last year I was there with
Eddie Stanky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, then, and he fired me and I.
Want to talk about a couple things during those years with the White Sox. Remember Billy Pierce's almost perfect game where he went 8 2/3 innings?
8 2/3 innings, and the guy hit it on the end of his bat. Hit over for
Ed Fitzgerald?
Fitzgerald. Yeah. Hit over the first base of the head. Just kind of number.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Billy was always like go to the ballpark with Billy's going to pitch because he was a fast pitcher. Billy could pitch a game in an hour and 30 minutes, you know. Grab the ball and throw it. He got it done in a hurry. Billy, but he was a good pitcher. He had a good fastball.
Mm-hmm.
He was a good pitcher.
Following your 59, that was the year I was born.
Yeah.
That was the last year my Cleveland Indians were in any contention, I guess, up until the disaster they had this year. But Sox make it, but you're in another World Series.
Yeah. They were in 59.
Mm-hmm.
And that year we had a good ball club. We had a good defensive and good pitching and good relief pitching. But we didn't hit very much. We got a base on ball and a stolen base. And
that's why they
fly
call them the Go-Go Sox.
Go-Go Sox. We ran a lot. I mean, you know, playing a White Sox park, it's not, well, you, thing is, you don't hit many home runs there at that time because it was a big park.
Right.
And everything there was defense. I mean, if you had a good defense, you could win. You didn't have home run hitters, but you had hitters that hit the ball between the outfield. I mean, line drive hitters, and that's why we was go-go. Some guy hit the ball. We could run. They was fast club. Everybody on it could run.
Mm-hmm.
They hit a ball between the outfield. Why? At least double. Some most of the time a triple. You know, we in a fly ball, we score a run. Hold them, and that was it.
Mm-hmm. And then lost to the Dodgers in six games in the 59 series.
59 series.
Close again, huh?
Nope. Lost again. I didn't. I can't be on a winner, I guess.
What was it like to work for Bill Veeck?
I only worked for Bill Veeck just a couple of years.
Yeah.
And of course, he was. I didn't see a whole. I mean, being a coach.
Yeah.
I didn't have that. Well, I had contact with him, but yeah. I mean, not that much. Lopez, of course, talked to him.
Right.
He came, you know, he was nice to us. I mean, there was, I enjoyed it. I just, actually, I didn't know Bill like you'd think I would know him.
Mm-hmm.
But, no, he came there, and of course, he tried a lot of things. He was a showman, you know that. He would put an exploding scoreboard and
yeah.
had all these guys come down in balloons and guys flying around and had a lot of promotion.
Mm-hmm.
He drew a lot of people.
Yeah. How about the 67, you were back to managing in the minor leagues with Indianapolis again?
Indianapolis, yes.
And then 68, you started to scout with the Kansas City Royals.
Well, yeah, it was become the Royals.
Yeah.
They had been promised an expansion. And, of course, then they had to get the club together.
Right.
And I went there as scout for them. And I went all over looking for ball players and reporting on ball players that we thought we could get
mm-hmm.
that would be left. See, if they, the expansion club, they was going to leave, they was going to what, keep 15 and then the last eight players, you could choose from those last eight players. I was trying to look at the players that didn't play very much. You know,
I mean, oh, I see.
They, you know,
so you just got the major leaguers.
Major yeah. leaguers and high minors.
Yeah.
And then... One day, Ed Short, general manager, called me, and he said, "Hey, That was in the last part of the
68.
And he said, Lopez, we're going to replace Stanky with Lopez again. Lopez wants you to come back to help him. He said, you've helped him for 10 years, and we want you to come back. Now I'll call him in. You know, if I worked for a guy for about 14 years, and he asked you to help him,
yeah.
He's given you a job 14 years, you can't say no.
Mm-hmm.
I would. And I liked it anyway. I want to go back to Major League.
You know, I've done, like I said, this is the 23rd one of these I've done, and just about everybody that, not all 23 guys have played for Al Lopez, yeah. But anybody who has played for Al Lopez said that he was the best manager they ever played for.
That's right. Al Lopez is one of those managers that two or three plays ahead of the game. He knew what he was going to do and how he was going to react two plays early, ahead of the game.
Mm-hmm.
He was the best with pitching I ever saw. He could sit there and watch the pitching. He and Ray Barry's could watch pitchers and see if they begin to get tired, to begin to more ball gets high on them. They get the bullpen and take him out. And every time he was the best with pitchers I ever saw.
Mm-hmm. And then how'd you wind up taking over the manager's job there in Chicago?
Well, I went there and all the coaches came back. Ray Barry's. And Cuccinello and John Cooney. We all coached together all these years. And so we were back there. And so Al got sick. That's the reason why he quit before. He had a terrible stomach and all. He was good. So one day in spring training, he began to get sick, and I began to get leery of him, you know, because he could tell he wasn't himself. And so early, I think way in early May, he was up in Kansas City, and he called and said, come up, I want to talk to you. He said, Cuccinello and Barry's and you, I want to talk to the three of you. So he said, okay. So we went up to have breakfast. We had breakfast in his room. He said, I'll order breakfast for all of us. He said, I can't go any longer. I'm going to quit. Oh, well, face drop, you know. He said, but one of you got to take over the job. And we all said, hey, we're not mad. No way. Cuccinello, no way. And Barry said, I wouldn't have this job for nothing. And I said, I wouldn't either. He said, wait a minute. He said, one of the three of you got to take it over. He said, Cuccinello said, Gutteridge, you're the youngest. And Barry said, Gutteridge, you're the youngest. I said, wait a minute. So he said, you're going to do it. And I said, I'm not a man. I really didn't have. I wanted to coach. I mean, that was the best job I thought of for me. And anyway, he said, well, I said, okay. And we finally said, so we called in Ed Short and he said, here's your manager from now on. So he said, I'll manage today and tomorrow morning, he's the manager.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I became manager. I called my wife, she was here. And I said, you know, you're talking to the next manager of the White Sox. I said, oh, my God, no, not that. and so she didn't say, oh, my God, because she wouldn't use that word at all. But she said, oh, no, you're not going to do that. So I said, yes, said, you're the next manager of the White Sox. I said, oh. She said, okay, all right. So I became manager.
Hmm. And did you enjoy your 2 years there?
Yeah, I did. I really did. I'm glad I did it, but I wouldn't want to go back and do it again. I came at the kind of a bad time because that was a transition when the players were beginning to change. You know,
right.
That was
they're starting to get some of the power from the owners.
Yeah, that's right. And that time of the year was that time of the whole world was rebellious.
Yeah.
And the players became rebellious, and it was hard to because they became more boisterous or more outspoken,
yeah.
And you couldn't discipline them like you could. And you had, in order to, you had to flip over. Now, I was too old that time to change my personality.
Yeah.
And I couldn't, and that's why. And it was kind of a bad time, really, for me. And also, Eddie Stanky had traded away a lot of our young ball players, and all I had left was just some very, really, really young kids that wasn't ready yet, but I had to play them. Because that's all we had. And I had a young ball player that eventually became a pretty good ball player. Several of them became good ballers, but they weren't good ball players at that time.
Yeah.
It was a tough time.
Then you got back into scouting full-time. I think you went with the Yankees at that time.
I went with the Yankees. Clyde Klitschko, when they fired me, they wanted me to scout for the White Sox. Well, I didn't much want to, but I didn't say no because I didn't have a job. I was looking around. And Clyde Klitschko from the Yankees called me and said, if I talk to the White Sox, will you come scout for me? I said, yeah, I will. I'd like to. So that's when Clyde Klitschko hired me. He was in charge of scouting the Yankees at that time.
And how long did you work for them?
I worked for them in 71, 72, 73, 74.
Okay.
And then I helped there. I did some special scouting for Clyde. And then I run their minor league. I managed their minor league training camp. I mean, I coordinated their minor leagues. All of them was down there together, but I coordinated the teams and made schedules for each team and we kind of coordinated that for them, and I enjoyed that part of it.
Mm-hmm.
I could do that. And then the scouting bureau came in,
right.
And they, of course, everybody got rid of their scouts, and I knew that at that time then, because I was low man on totem pole. I knew where I was going to go. And I came home, and I didn't have much more, and got home about 2 weeks, and Yankees and Dodgers called me and said, hey, we need a player. We need somebody to scout in your area. And I said, I was getting to the point where, I didn't want to.
You'd had enough.
I had had about enough. He said, well, all you need to do is just scout in your area. We'll give you we need somebody in Oklahoma, Kansas, and Missouri, and just in this territory. I said, okay. And he said, you do that. And he said, I'll tell you what, if you get through scouting about in August, last of August, then you can have the rest of the time off. Just kind of, we don't want you to, all we want you to do is scout college and high school and free agent scouting. You don't have to do any, I did do some, later on, some professional scouting for them, but chiefly I was for the free agency, just recommending young players to them. And I enjoy that part of it. I go to ball games and colleges and high schools and American Legion.
And, mm-hmm. And you're still doing that today?
No.
No?
I stayed with them until the end of 1970. The end of 92.
92, okay.
Yeah, this is the second year. But I told them, they wanted to make some, at that time they were re-scouting, and I told them, why don't you just forget about me? They said, okay. So it was mutual agreement.
Yeah. Well, real briefly, how many do you have in the big leagues?
I don't have anybody. Well, I didn't sign anybody.
Mm-hmm.
All I did.
So you're just doing the recommendations.
I was recommendations. Okay. I would send my reports in, and a lot of them I.
So a different scout would go out and actually do the actual handling.
A different type, and of course nowadays, you just recommend something, then they send the lawyer out, because all this, all the agents and the lawyers and all that sort of stuff.